Also was ich nicht so bach ich hasle shagum vom Yehudim sagt der Shabbos darf nun base. The Bei Menashe taught a Brice that said if you make a hole in the horns of a goat, then you can put an afsar in those holes and you're allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Without the holes, you'd be afraid it's going to slip off the horns and you would not be allowed to go out like that on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef asked, what about if the goat, you tie it to the goat's beard? Are we still afraid that the goat's going to make it come off? Or maybe since it's too painful to have him pull it off, maybe he wouldn't let it come off, Teiku. Mishnah says that the cow can't go out with a strap between its horns. Rabbi Abba said it's machlekes in Rav and Shmuel. One says that the Mishnah says it's usher to go with the strap when the strap is for a decoration, but if it's for control, to control the cow, then it would be mutter. The other says that it's usher in both cases. Rabbi Yosef wanted to say that Shmuel is the one who says that a strap, if it's used for control, that's when it's mutter, because Shmuel says Allah falz chananya. So even though it's an excessive shimur, the strap for a cow, but obviously it says mutter. Abaye says fakeret. Abaye says that Shmuel must be the one who says that even for control, it's still going to be usher, and he brings a raya from what they asked Rebbe on the previous daf. The Gemara ends up saying that Rabbi Yosef's version is correct, and Abaye is wrong, because we find elsewhere that Shmuel explicitly says that a strap used for control on a cow is mutter. Brisa says that if a person puts on a parah aduma a leash on the cow, then it's still a kosher parah aduma. Now, if a leash on a cow is an excessive restraint, it's a shimur that yaserta. Now, if an excessive restraint is considered to be a masui, a burden, then the parah aduma should become possible because it's loyola aleha oil. So you see that obviously it's not a masui. Abaye says the Braise is talking about when you're taking the cow from one city to another. In that case, it's not considered to be excessive. Rava says because the paraduma is so valuable, that's why a leash is not considered to be so excessive for the paraduma. And Ravina says the Braise is referring to a cow that's very rebellious, and that's why it needs that extra level of restraint. The Mishnah said, Asus basher v'chulu. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that they can be yoitzin, you're allowed to go out with it, and nimshochin, you're allowed to be pulled by it? Ravuna says the Mishnah means that the animal is allowed to go out with the rope wrapped around its neck or with the person pulling in front. Shmuel says it's only allowed to go out when it's with this rope when it's being led by from in front by a person. Raisa says like Shmuel. Rav Yosef said he saw the calves of Ravuna walking out with the rope wrapped around their necks. Rav Dimi in the name of Chanina said that Rebbe's mules would go out with an officer on Shabbos, and Rav Chanina said they actually went out with that rope with the rope wrapped around their necks. Mishnah said umazan aleim v'toyvlim v'mekoyman. The Mishnah seems to say that an animal collar becomes tummy. However, there's a Mishnah that said a person's ring could become tummy, but the ring or a keli of an animal, or the ring of a keli or an animal, which would include the collar of an animal, cannot become tummy. Rabbi Yitzchak said our Mishnah is talking about a collar that was used by a person and became tummy at that time and was then used for an animal, but it never yet became tar, so it remains tummy since it was used for a person first. Rabbi Yosef says the collar of an animal could become tummy because it's used by a person to help control the animal. Like a prodding stick for an animal could become tummy because used by a person to prod and control the animals. The same thing is with the collar of an animal. Even though it belongs to an animal, it could become tummy because it's used by the person. Mishnah said, V'toyvlam m'kaiman. The problem is you have a reflecting gemara, you have a ring that's in the strap that's very tightly very tightly stuffed into the collar. The ring l'chayri should be a chatzitza for the collar. How could it be toyvlam like that? Rav Ami says, the Mishnah's talking about where the holes were bigger, they were widened. A Braisa says the Mishnah's referring to a collar with a head, wide holes. Rav Ami must hold like Rav Yosef that says that the collar became tummy because it's considered to be the keli of a person, even though it wasn't mamish of a person, because that's why making the holes larger doesn't make it lose its tumah. Because if he held like Rav Yitzchak, who said that it's only tummy because it was actually used, because it used to be used by people themselves, then the fact that he made a physical change to the collar by making the holes bigger, it should have made it lose its tumah. Mara says it could be holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, but still he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that only a destructive physical change removes tumah, that the widening of the holes is not considered to be a destructive physical change. Bryce says the Talmud asked Rabbi Eliezer, I heard there's a halachic difference between two types of rings, but I don't know what the difference is. Rabbi Eliezer said, you must have heard that there's a difference in halacha regarding Shabbos. A regular ring could be worn into Rosh Hashanah, but a signet ring cannot be, because there's no difference with regard to tumah when it comes to rings. We just said there's a difference between a person's ring could become tumah, other rings cannot. The Mara says the Talmud was asking about the people's rings. We learned that a ring that's used for a belt buckle it doesn't become tame. Mara said he was referring to rings worn on the fingers. We learned that metal rings with wooden signets could become tame, but a wooden ring with metal signets do not. He was referring to totally metal rings. So that's why it can't be a difference in your tumah. It must be that there must be a difference in the Shabbos only. Bryson continues, the Talmud asks, and said, I heard that there's a halachic difference between different types of needles, but I don't know what the difference is. Rabbi Eliezer said, you must have heard that there's a difference regarding Hilchos Shabbos, meaning a needle with a hole, which is a sewing needle, may not be worn into Rosh Hashanah, but a decorative pin may be worn. because it can't be, there's no other difference between Hilchos Shabbos, besides Hilchos Shabbos, there is no other difference, because there's no difference regarding needles. With regard to needles, there's no difference with in Tumah. Mara asks, we learned that a needle that's missing its eye or its point can't become Tumah, otherwise it could become Tumah, as you see there is a difference in Tumah. Mara says, he was referring to complete needles, therefore there is no difference in Tumah. Marius, we learned that a needle that's rusty to the point that it can't be used for sewing can't become tumah. So you see, there could be a difference in tumah. The Marius says the Talmud was referring to needles that are not rusty. Marius, we have a brisa that says a needle without an eye can't become tumah. So you see, again, there could be a difference between tumah, different types of needles. Marius says that brisa refers to an unfinished needle, whereas Rabbi Eliezer and the Talmud, they were referring to finished needles, and that's why there can't be any difference between tumah. There can only be a difference l'inyan Hilchas Shabbos. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer answered that the difference must be l'inyan Shabbos, that if it's a sewing needle with a hole, it can't be worn into Rishus HaRabim. If it's a decorative needle, pin, then that could be worn out into Rishus HaRabim as a tachshut.